Welcome to Episode 2 of Practical Defense, Parking Lot Safety. Hello and welcome to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. This week, we're going to talk about safety in parking lots. So, why are parking lots, parking structures, and home garages unsafe places? Places that we need to be on guard? Well, first off, it's generally because we don't think of them as being unsafe. You know, with the bright lights and security cameras and other people walking around, we tend to feel safe. And when we feel safe, we let our guards down and are easily distracted. And when that happens, then we're vulnerable. So, let's take a look at parking lots from the perspective of a criminal and run down the list. We have victims of money. We have victims who are distracted. We have victims with their hands full. There are plenty of places to hide. You have the victims trapped between large objects. And as the criminal, your car is not too far away. In my personal experiences, all crimes against friends and family have pretty much been committed in parking lots. As we discussed last episode, when my father was mugged, it was in a parking lot, at night, when he was loading books into the trunk of his car. When I was in high school, one of my water polo teammates was robbed in a parking lot, in a school parking lot, at an away game. He had decided that he was going to drive himself to the game rather than riding with a bus. And when he was getting out of his car, somebody came up to him at knife point and demanded his wallet. And of course, that was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. One of my workout buddies was held up at gunpoint in his home carport. As he was getting out of his car, somebody snuck up behind him and put a gun to the back of his head and demanded his wallet. And so he just gave the guy his wallet and didn't turn around. That was in the evening at about 8:30 or so. And when I lived in that neighborhood, which was Brentwood and actually a nice neighborhood, one of my neighbors was robbed at gunpoint in the early morning as she was getting into her car on her way to work. So it was about 7:15 in the morning. She was parked curbside right in front of the building. And as she was getting to her car, somebody came and, you know, prevented her from closing the door of the car and asked for her purse, which she gave to him. And my sister-in-law had her purse stolen in a grocery store parking lot. She was 8 months pregnant, and she was carrying groceries to her car when somebody jumped out from behind some cars and tried to yank her purse from her arm. So, he pulled her to the ground, all the groceries spilled, and he yanked the purse out and ran away. Fortunately, though, you know, she and my soon-to-be niece were just fine, and that was about 6:30 in the evening after work. So just within my bubble, the people around me have all been pretty much attacked in parking lots, and the time of day doesn't really seem to be a factor here. You know, morning attacks, you know, when my neighbor was getting into her car, afternoon attacks when my water polo team member was getting ready for a polo game, which, by the way, he did wind up playing in the polo game. And at night, with my father, my friend, and my sister-in-law. But the big factor is that they were all getting into or out of their cars. What happens is when you're distracted, you're getting into and out of your car, your back is turned, you're looking at the car, you're getting in, you're putting your stuff in, and that's when the criminals can get the jump on you. Another safety issue when it comes to parking lots, especially for women, is abductions. Now, abductions are really quite rare, but they do happen, and for that reason and that reason only, I'm going to bring them up here. You see a lot of the stuff in the media, but they really aren't as common as you might think. But one of the popular approaches is to park a large vehicle next to the target woman's vehicle. And as the woman approaches her car and gets into the car, the large vehicle, usually like a van, you know, they slide the door open, they grab the woman, they haul her into the van, they slide the door shut, and then the van drives away. So it happens quickly. It happens, you know, you can watch videos of this on YouTube of this type of stuff happening. But again, not a big thing, doesn't happen very often, but it is something that women should be aware of. Now, as I mentioned, you know, there are plenty of things on YouTube, and that brings up video cameras. Video cameras are everywhere these days. You know, they're in parking lots, parking structures, office buildings, places like that. The thing is, though, what happens with the video cameras is they can't do anything to interrupt the crime. All they can do is bear silent witness to the event and help in the prosecution of the person who's committing the crime, should they be caught. So the cameras can act as deterrents, but they really can only bear silent witness to the events. So even if they were manned actively and watched actively, there's still no chance that a security guard sitting in a security booth somewhere in some room in some part of the campus can get out and run to the event in order to stop it. Things just happen too quickly. For those with a taste for the macabre, you can find some video footage of abductions and other crimes taking place on places like YouTube and other internet video hosting sites. Now here's the shocking thing. As you watch these videos, you'll find that people are walking down other aisles 30 feet away while the crime's being committed, and they have no idea that it's going on. But, you know what? Enough with the icky stuff. Let's move to the points where how you can make yourself less of a target, something that a criminal will pass over when they cruise for a victim. The first step in all personal protection is awareness. Now, what do I mean by awareness? Awareness is just understanding that you're putting yourself into a dangerous or potentially hazardous environment. Now, I'm not talking like you're going to be walking through a minefield, but, you know, parking lots are dangerous. You know, from people that are driving way too fast to people lurking behind cars that'll want to, you know, jump out and grab your wallet. So just keeping an eye to your personal safety as you move from the store to your office will make you safer. So how else does awareness help protect you? Well, it changes your body language. Now, what I mean by this is that you carry yourself differently when you're aware. When you're looking around, when you're aware, when you're acting sharp, you carry yourself differently, and criminals will pick up on that. Criminals don't want somebody who's difficult. They're looking for an easy score. They're looking for something that they can just snatch and grab. They're not looking for a fight. So by carrying yourself in an aware manner, head up, walking straight, looking around, being sharp, they're going to pass you over for an easier target. The next thing is to have your keys ready. Now, before you enter the parking lot, you want to have your keys out and in hand, because standing between two cars with your hands in your pockets or digging through your purse puts you at a disadvantage and distracts you from your surroundings. And that's exactly what the criminals are looking for. They're looking for somebody who is turned and distracted and in a vulnerable position, which is, you know, not with your hands up. Hands up, you can defend yourself. Hands in your pockets, hands in the purse, bent over the hood of the car. That will get you hit. Now, here's something I did for my own mother. I placed her car keys on a breakaway lanyard. Now, a lanyard's a rope or a string that you wear around your neck, and you hang things from it like ID badges. A breakaway lanyard has a clasp that snaps open when it's pulled with enough force. Now, you can give the string a good hard tug, and what happens is the clasp releases, and the string comes away in your hand, without any damage to your neck or the clasp. And then when you want to put it back together and make it whole again, you reattach the clasp. So for my mother, the only thing on her lanyard is a single car key. Now what she does is when she pulls into a parking space, she turns off the engine and immediately puts the lanyard around her neck. And then she gets out of the car. Now this one of the nice things about this is that she won't lock her keys in her car, which is always a worry of hers. But the other thing is she always knows where her car keys are. So when she gets back to a car, she doesn't have to dig through her purse. She doesn't have to fumble around for things. She just hits the unlock button, gets in, locks the door, and starts the engine. So why a breakaway lanyard? Well, the first thing is that if somebody wants to yank the key from her neck, they can. And, you know, not hurt her neck. If they really want the key that badly, they can have it, you know, and just leave my mother alone. The other thing is that it can't be used against her if there's actually a physical struggle, because as soon as they grab it and try and choke her with it, you know, just breaks right off and comes away in their hand. She loves the breakaway lanyard and uses it every time she goes out, and just recently, my wife also adopted the practice. Another thing to consider is traveling in numbers. Two or more people is infinitely harder to control than a lone person. And again, the criminals are looking for an easy, distracted, lone target. So when this grocery store clerk asks you if you want to help out with your groceries, just say yes. You know, it's a free service. You get an escort out to your car and you get help loading it. An attacker is far more likely to bypass a group and look on, and move on to a single lone target. But if you are walking alone, you want to be certain to keep a hand free. If you don't want both hands filled with groceries because, again, that puts you at a disadvantage. So you want to keep one hand free. And if you do have one free hand, guess what you want to have in that hand? Yep, you want to have your keys. Or if you're wearing a breakaway lanyard, nothing. Just keep the hand free. And as you move up to your car, you want to scan the area in the back seat. Now, I'm not saying stop and do a complete flashlight inspection of every single row as you pass every single car in the parking lot, but just keep an eye out to what's going on. Check to see if there are people loitering. Are they just hanging out? Are they talking? What are they doing? When you get up to your car, do a quick check for the back seat. Next, you just want to get into the car. Remember from the examples that I gave earlier, most of the attacks happened at the transition point between getting into or getting out of the vehicle. So what you want to do is when you get up to the car and you unlock the doors, put your stuff in and then just get in right after it. Get in, just put your briefcase in, put your purse in, and boom, get in the car, shut the door, lock the door. Dilly-dallying and waiting around and digging through your purse, polishing your glasses or undoing your tie, is this going to keep the window open for the criminal to come and attack you? Getting in very quickly will narrow that window and shorten the amount of time and the availability that the criminal has to attack you. And then once you're in the car, then you can make all adjustments. Then you can actually go into your briefcase and pull out the MP3 player and plug it in, or, you know, shine your glasses, undo your tie, all these other things. You know, and some experts actually even recommend putting the car into gear before doing any of that. I'm not a huge fan of this because having your foot on the brake pedal and then reaching into the back seat to pull something out, your foot's likely to slip off and it's way too easy to have accidents happen that way. So get in the car, shut and lock the door, turn the engine on, and then fiddle around with your stuff. And just to reinforce that point, lock the doors immediately when you get in. Some cars automatically lock the doors for you when you engage the transmission or you drive, 10 or 15 feet or whatever it is. Don't wait that long. You just want to put your stuff down, you want to get in, and you want to lock the doors. Having the doors locked will make it much harder for the criminal to get at you should they actually continue to try to pursue you actually into the car and try and break the window. Now, there are a couple of things that you should be aware of that you should not do. And the first thing is once you're inside the car, is don't get out again. Criminals are currently using a technique to get you out of the car once you're already inside. What they're doing is they're placing small cards or small flyers or type of things on inconvenient places on the windshield. So when you get into the car and you sit down and you start getting settled, then you'll know, oh, wait, there's something on my windshield. Normal instinct is to get out of the car and reach around and pull it off. And that's when the criminal strikes. So he gets you out of the car once you're already in. So what you want to do is you want to drive away from where you are. And then, even if it's a couple aisles away, then you want to, put it in park real quick, jump out, grab it, and continue on your way. Now, of course, if it's large, big, that type of thing, and you can't see, you need to use common sense and you need to pull it off. However, when that type of thing should be apparent as you walk up to the car and you do an initial scan as you walk up. And another thing you should not do once you get in the car, at least immediately, is to put on your seatbelt. I know that's kind of an odd thing, but it's something they teach bodyguard drivers. And that is not to put the seatbelt on immediately, because when you get into the car, if you have to do something, if you have to move around, you're not going to be able to move quickly in a device designed to restrain quick movement. So put your seatbelt on last. So once you're in, door's locked, engine's on, you've done your fiddling, you've plugged in your MP3 player, you've polished your sunglasses, and you're ready to go out, then put your seatbelt on. But always, 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 you must always wear your seatbelt. All right, so to summarize some of the safety precautions for parking lots, we've got be aware, you know, keep your awareness going. Use your body language. You don't want to look or act like a victim. You want to travel in groups. You want to keep your hands free, at least one hand free. You want to have your keys ready, either in a free hand or on a breakaway lanyard. You want to scan the area as you walk up to your car. You want to just get into the car. Just don't dilly-dally, just get in. Once you get in, lock the doors. Turn on the engine. Fiddle around once you're inside, but once you're inside, don't get out again. Put your seatbelt on last. But again, always put your seatbelt on. Now, the purpose of this episode and others like it is not to turn people into a bunch of scared rabbits sprinting back and forth between buildings and cars and parking lots. Crime's an unfortunate reality in the increasingly compacted urban communities that we live in. And because of that, we have to deal with crime. But in dealing with crime, we have to be aware that it's there. And awareness is the first step in protection. Pretending that the crime isn't going to happen or pretending that crime doesn't happen is not going to protect you from it. But understanding that it is there and taking just a few simple procedures and a few simple steps or changing your habits a bit will make you far safer in those environments. Nothing's 100%, but you can do things, very small things, to mitigate any vulnerability or risk that you might have. And as a self-defense practitioner, an instructor, I need to walk a fine line between, you know, causing fear and education. And my goal is education. I don't want to scare anybody, but I do want to help people protect themselves. And what I hope that you've gained from this episode and the previous episode and future episodes are some techniques and habits that you can have that will make you and your loved ones safer. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe. Kevin MacLeod.